I'm Dawn Burns, and this is The Sauce. We're cooking up a soul-satisfying taste of arts, music, and culture that will have you coming back for more. And we're right here on your NPR station, 88.1 WVPE. Last month, I took the trip of a lifetime. I traveled to the French Riviera to attend Jazz à Juan, the historic, iconic jazz festival that was celebrating its 60th anniversary. The first artist I saw live was the legendary sax great Kenny Garrett. It was an intimate experience since the venue was at about half capacity. Seventh row center with the Mediterranean sunset and the sublime, joyful vibration of Kenny and his band dancing in the air. I learned that he had a new album coming out, and I'm thrilled to tell you that I got to talk to him about it. Sounds from the Ancestors is available on August 27th on Mac Avenue Records. It was an honor to talk to him about finally getting to play after a long year of lockdown. He talked about making the album, working with Chucho Valdez, and how he takes his audience on a journey where he and his band are allowed to speak with and connect to the ancestors from the creator to the artist in what he calls the upper room. Hello, Mr. Kenny Garrett. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Don, and thank you for inviting me.
It's such an honor, and I have to tell you, I saw you at the Jazz à Juan festival that just happened a couple of weeks ago in Juan-les-Pins, France. It was so exciting. My friend who lives in Canada and I literally scheduled an entire vacation around that jazz festival when we saw who was coming to play. And you and your band were the first artists that we saw. And after having been cooped up for so long, to have you be the first, you know, artist that we saw was really pure religion for us. It was so beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. How did it feel to be back on the stage? Was that your first festival, or had you guys been touring up until then?
Well, actually, that was our first concert in Europe. We actually ended right before the pandemic. We were traveling through Europe for like a month, the whole month of February until March the 2nd. So we were all in, we were in the heart of that. We were in Italy. A couple of days after that, they closed down Blue Note Jazz Club in Milan. And we were in the UK and Ronnie Scott's. We were in Poland. We were all over the place. And we made it back out. But that was the first time having an opportunity to play. And we were excited. Didn't really know what to expect. A lot of hoops and things we were jumping to just to get there. But we made it. And I mean, I had, that was a crazy day. Just we flew over, arrived that morning, that afternoon, around noon, had about four interviews, did a sound check. We played the concert, ate something, went to sleep, and then we were back on the plane coming back. But musically, we had a lot of fun. It was good, you know, just to see the fans, and we were excited. You know, I mean, I'm always welcome in France, but it was just, we just wanted to play some music and try to uplift the people.
Absolutely. And you could really feel the joy emanating from you all on the stage, especially your drummer. Your drummer was all smiles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just such a beautiful experience. And, you know, seeing you there and really sometimes when I'm when I see musicians that, you know, I really care about, I almost get anxiety in the moment because I'm so focused on wanting to take it all in and absorb it all. And when I was listening to you, I just, you know, it was clear now that I've heard your album that you were playing quite a few songs from your new project. And it's all so profound. You know, the imagery on your LP, shout out to the artist who created.
That's
that,
right.
Right. Right. And I just wonder if you can sort of speak to me about how you
really channel the ancestors for, I mean, you do it for everything you do, but especially for this project?
Well, I think, you know, and generally, Art Blakey kind of explained it best. He says, the music flows from the creator to the artist to the audience. And I think, you know, every time I hit the bandstand, I try to call it the journey. Mm-hmm. I try to take the audience on the journey, and I try to go to a place that we don't go all the time. We call it the upper room. We try to go in this room that kind of opens up, and it allows us to be able to speak to the ancestors. And I've done that a couple of times where I've been able to, you know, I think connect. But I think it's something that, I've been, trying to do for a long time. And I do it sometimes. I say try, but, you know, I'm able to do it. I can't say every time I want to, but I seem to be able to get to that spot. And I guess with all of all the distractions that I had, I had to go someplace to get to there, because it was a very trying day. There was a lot of things happening, and I think it was great because it allows us to be distracted about any of that and just to focus on the music and on the people and having a good time.
And I had a question for you about venues. You know, when you think about different venues that you've played in over the years, let's say, like clubs and theaters and concert halls, even amphitheaters, is there a particular one or a particular style of venue that you enjoy playing the most?
Not necessarily. I mean, in the States, there's a place called Yoshi's out in Oakland, California. I used to like to play that. Not because, it was just the overall concept of the restaurant and a Japanese restaurant and in the music. I really love that. And so, but a lot of times this is really about just trying to get to the bandstand, and it could be any place. I mean, it's a festival, that's fine. If it's a small club, that's fine too. It's just really, we're just trying to get to the music, how we can get to it. Sometimes, I mean, it can be more intimate if you're in a smaller place. I mean, because people are right there. And then sometimes, you know, at the concerts with the right sound and, you know, the right environment, you can, you know, we try to get to the music there too. But it doesn't really, like I said, it doesn't really bother me about any place. I just try to find it. And, you know, that's a long process, sometimes starting way before the gig just to get to it.
You have a new single from your album.
The first single was actually For Art's Sake.
Can you tell me about the creation of that?
Well, For Art's Sake is actually for the great drummer, Art Blakey, and the great Apple Park drummer, Tony Allen. How I came up with that concept, I knew that Art Blakey was influenced by the African drumming, and I knew that Tony Allen, who was actually the drummer who played with Fela Kuti, I knew that he was influenced by Art, and he was able to come up with an original beat that Fela used in his music a lot. And in turn, what I was trying to do is lock those two guys together, Art Blakey and Tony Allen, and then at the same token, have my drummer, Ronald Bird, who's playing on the CD, to actually try to continue that. And that's really what, you know, For Art's Sake is about.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the passing of the baton to the next drummer, you know.
Yeah, it really does evoke that. It's a great journey, that song.
Well, thank you.
This is The Sauce. I'm Dawn Burns here with alto saxophonist and Grammy Award winner Kenny Garrett.
Well, that one was, that actually what kind of started the whole concept. I was really, when I was a kid, I used to, when Christmas time would come up, before Christmas, I had, probably around Thanksgiving, I would hide all of my 45s. And when Christmas Day would show, I would play all of this music that would fill me up, that would fill my heart up. And I would just, you know, I would carry that for the next Christmas. And I was trying to see if I can capture some of that spirit of the ancestors and the music that I heard that filled me up and had me being able to last for a year until I do it again. And I started thinking, you know what, wow, That's the sounds of the ancestors. And I said, I want to do a record that's reflecting on that. And in this particular one, Sounds from the Ancestors, the title track, I had been doing some concerts with the great Cuban pianist, Chucho Valdez. So we, yeah. And, you know, we share the same birthday. We share a lot of, you know, I used to try to go and listen to him. Sometimes he could get in the country. But I started hearing, man, this music reminds me of my music, but it's different. You know, and it had this quality, spiritual quality that I was looking for. And I kept hearing it. And so we've been talking about trying to do a record together. But I ended up doing a lot of concerts with him, you know, like in 2018, 2019. And so I started thinking about like the way he starts his melodies, like the beginning of Sounds from the Ancestors. I'm actually playing the intro on piano and the outro on piano, and because I heard the way that he plays, and I wanted to have that feeling, and also to go into. I wanted the Sounds of the Ancestors, if it was coming from the plantation, if it was coming from the church, if it was coming from the mosque or from the synagogue, I just wanted to bring in all of those spirits and invoke that. So I have the Yoruban drummer and priestess, Patito Martinez. I have him doing when the tune first starts, when the band comes in, I have him, you know, doing his part there. And then I have a preacher who's there, and that's Dwight Fribble. He actually does stuff with Kumasi Washington. And so I had him to come in. And so I have my drummer, Rudy Bird. And so you have like all this percussion stuff going on. And he also is studying Afro-Cuban music. So it was really about this, not only, you know, this, the journey of Afro-Cuban, but actually the church, like I said, the synagogue, any place where, you know, we would collect or invoke, you know, the spirit.
Yes, well, you certainly can feel it in that song. You sat down at the piano and played. Was that a different song that you did?
I played piano, a lot of my records, a lot of people just don't know. So in this one, I think, you know, they get, I mean, even the pianist was confused. They're like, wait a minute. That's, well, who was that? You know, so I have affinity for the piano. It calms me down. I mean, especially like the, you know, the high with the saxophone. It's like, okay, that's high energy. And then when I go to the piano, it just kind of calms it down and everything's okay. And then I can go to sleep at that time.
Right. Well, I think that's a wonderful way to end any day. And bless you for the work that you do. I think it's really important. And as we are losing, you know, our great artists, thankful that you're young. You're young and we have you. And to sort of hold it down and pass the torch. I appreciate you, and I know all of your admirers, you know, anybody who understands and loves the music appreciates you. We look forward to release of your album on August 27th on Mac Avenue Records. And thank you for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you. And hopefully we'll see you at another concert and we can go on a journey.
I will certainly be there. Yeah, I may catch you in Detroit, actually.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right. Thank you so much.
Right. Oh, thank you.
You heard from Kenny Garrett and his song For Art's Sake, along with the title track from his new album called Sounds from the Ancestors. Up next, I sit down with guitarist Brian Lubeck here on The Sauce. I'm Dawn Burns.